Okay, well, God bless you. It's Sunday, December 28th, 2025. What, about four more days in this year? Pretty wonderful. Please turn to the book of Philippians in the New Testament, chapter 2. I'd like to thank Mike for the opportunity to share God's word. Mike is in Colorado taking care of family business, and he should be back next Sunday. And as I mentioned, if Christ comes back first, then we'll all see Jesus Christ in the clouds. This morning, I'd like to share on Christmas isn't just a day, it's a frame of mind. Christmas is not meant to be confined to December 25th. The heart of Christmas, love, generosity, truth, and self-giving reflects the character of God and his son Jesus Christ and is meant to shape how we live every day. Miracle on 34th Street. A little while back, I watched the movie Miracle on 34th Street. In it, Kris Kringle, a Macy's department store Santa Claus, makes the statement, Christmas isn't just a day, it's a frame of mind. And that got me thinking, that frame of mind is the mind of Christ, which is, of course, many things, but it includes goodness, humility, giving, kindness, generosity, and love. In the movie, Kris Kringle sends customers to another store if it has a better toy or a better price. From a business standpoint, this makes no sense. From a moral standpoint, it makes perfect sense. Kris Kringle's kindness and heart won people over in the end. And true goodness seeks the good of others, even when it costs us. So we can see a few of these examples in that movie. So we're going to start in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you. Philippians 2 and verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if you look at the Greek word, it's let these thoughts be in you, which were also in Christ Jesus. The Amplified version for verses 4 and 5, I'll read those. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interests of others. Let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. So we can put all of these things in our minds, in our thoughts, you know, like-minded, having the same love, one accord, one mind. Nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And then it says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, before we get there, you don't have to turn there, but it says in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. And 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. And that's not a real good translation. It kind of looks like you tried to grab your neighbor's money. The New Living Translation says, don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. And let's see here. The Bible repeatedly calls believers to look beyond personal gain and consider the needs of others. Kind of like the Santa Claus in the movie, where he sent people to another store if they had a better toy or a better price on it. And of course, his immediate supervisors kind of freaked out, but his love and kindness and generosity won out in the end. Pretty wonderful. Sending a customer elsewhere, like Kris Kringle did, shows the biblical principle of putting people before profit and putting love before self-interest. So let's turn to Luke chapter 6, the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, back a few books, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And before we read that, I'm going to read something which you don't need to turn to, but this is talking about unconditional love. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth, and that word commendeth, it's like demonstrated, he showed, he put it on display, his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Luke 6 and verse 32, it says, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. So if we just do good to those that do good to us, unbelievers do that, or you lend to other people expecting it back. But in verse 35, it says, but love ye your enemies. That's not something they do. And do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God's love was given without conditions. So he gave it unconditionally, with no guarantee of return. And in the movie, Kris Kringle didn't give to win loyalty or praise. He gave because it was the right thing to do. And that shows a picture of grace. Okay, let's turn to Matthew, back a couple books. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at giving. Giving that reflects God's heart. Matthew 6 and verse 1, it says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. You know, they would actually walk along. They'd be all pious looking, you know, maybe have some ashes on their forehead, you know, all, you know, they're fasting maybe, but someone goes before them and sounds a trumpet so everyone just sees how pious they are, right? Or maybe in our day, you know, you'd be walking along and you'd have a sound van in front of us with a megaphone. You know, no, that is the example of what not to do. But it says, when we give to others, verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. You can do it so secret, so on the low down, that not even your left hand knows what your right hand's doing, right? That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So when we give to others, whether it's helping the poor, supporting a cause, just showing kindness, we can just do it with a pure heart, without seeking public recognition or praise. You know, true charity should be motivated by love and compassion for others, not a desire for recognition. I mean, bless you. We all know about the celebrity that gives $1 million to charity, but of course, he's got all sorts of pictures and articles about it in social media, right? Well, we don't have to do that. You know, it says they have their reward, which is simply the glory of men. But, you know, I'd rather get my praise from God, you know. So let's go to Acts chapter 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, chapter 20. And we're going to read in Acts 20 and verse 35. Okay, I'm in the wrong chapter. Acts 20 and verse 35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Giving isn't about recognition. It's about reflecting the heart of God. True, I call it Christmas giving, often happens quietly and without any fanfare. So how can we apply this? Here's a couple things I thought of. Help someone, even when it's inconvenient. Recommend a better option that doesn't necessarily benefit us. Be honest when saying nothing might be more of a payoff. Give time, attention, and forgiveness, not just money. Okay, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And chapter 3. And I entitled this, Living the Christmas Frame of Mind All Year, Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation, which is the bond of perfectness. And we're going to turn to the book of Micah. Not one we hang out a lot in, but it's in the Old Testament. The way to find it is go to Matthew and then go back about six books. So, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. Did I pass it? I think I did. Okay. Anyway, Micah. If it helps, it's page 1425 in my Bible. Okay, Micah, and we're going to go to chapter 6. This is one of those little gems that no one reads. Probably there's believers that haven't even read this, but it's really a wonderful three verses here. Micah chapter 6 and verse 6. The prophet says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil?" Now, when you see thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil, does this sound to you like this is according to fact here? It sounds like it might just be a figure of speech, right? I mean, shoot, even a gallon of oil is a lot. Then you got one river of oil, that's a lot, even more. And 10,000, this is a figure of speech, and I looked it up in the figure of speech book. It is the figure hyperbole, means exaggeration. I mean, we use the same thing, you know. Man, he's got his arms way out here. The fish was that big, you know. It was only really about 6 inches long. You know, or this slipped my mind. Anyway, I know it was a great example. But anyway, we use that exaggeration. And so God can do the same thing. I mean, God teaches us any way he can. He uses parables. He uses figures of speech like this one here. He uses Oriental customs and cultures, you know, Orientalisms as we call them. He can even use examples from a Hollywood movie, you know. Any way that he can get his word into our brains. You know, it's pretty wonderful here. So here it says, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil?" And that's that figure hyperbole. By the way, we've got a word taken directly from that, hyperbole. You know, in mathematics, there's something called hyperbolic functions, which is from that same word. It's an exaggeration. God uses it to help you to understand, you know, kind of the silliness of, you know, am I going to sacrifice thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Then verse 8, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee?" And here it is. "But to do justly, to do right according to God's word, and to love mercy," not just have mercy, but love mercy. And that word mercy is goodness and kindness and mercy. So if you're looking for a New Year's resolution, this might be one of them right here. You know, just walk right on, keeping God's word in your heart, love, mercy, goodness, and kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God. Isn't that a great little section there? And so what does this look like daily? It's kindness when no one's watching, or integrity when it costs you something. Generosity without strings attached, and compassion that sees people, not business deals. And the key idea that I took from this, Christmas becomes less about what we celebrate and more about how we live our lives. Okay, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, entitled this, Thanks Be to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read John 3:16. Actually, we can probably, most of us, quote that, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow, thanks be to God. You know, you just read that as if this is the first time you're reading it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. That kind of makes it all worth it, doesn't it? That's pretty neat. Okay, did I say 2 Corinthians? Yeah. Hope so. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, it says, Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And that word unspeakable, it's the Greek word anekdiegetos. It sounds Japanese, anekdiegetos. But Bullinger defines it as it cannot be told out to the end. So how come God's gift can't be told out to the end? Because God's gift and his love for us never ends. I mean, it's eternal. We have everlasting life. The greatest example of sending someone elsewhere, like the Santa Claus did, for their good, it's God sending his Son, not for his benefit, but for our benefit. And we love generously because we have been loved generously. And in closing, Christmas isn't just a day, it's a frame of mind. That frame of mind is the mind of Christ, humble, giving, truthful, and loving. When we live that way, Christmas lasts all year. So let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your kindness and grace and love. Thank you that you so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes can have everlasting life. Father, we're just so thankful that you teach us your word through your parables, through figures of speech, through orientalisms, and even through silly things like Hollywood movies. And Father, just that we can put on this mind of Christ, that we can have goodness, humility, giving, kindness, generosity, and love. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.